It's 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon. My name's Jacob.
Well, I must be Mercedes then. And we're on Community Radio 3CR with Friday Rave.
This framework sets out a policy and programmatic action plan that does not constitute or create rights or obligations under domestic or international law, does not give rise to any legal process, and does not constitute or create any legally binding or enforceable obligations, express or implied. You're tuned to Community Radio 3CR with that just nice little message at the top there.
Yeah, now this is your... That was coming out of, listeners would have heard, of Anthony Albanese meeting with the Emperor Donald Trump in Washington earlier this week, or was it last week? Earlier this week. And where they put together a, what do they call it, a critical minerals deal, the US-Australia framework for securing of supply in the mining and processing of critical minerals and rare earths. And what Mercedes just read out was the disclaimer, the last point of that framework, saying that, and I'll read it again, this framework sets out a policy and programmatic action plan that does not constitute or create rights or obligations under domestic or international law, does not give rise to any legal processes, and does not constitute or create any legally binding or enforceable obligations, express or implied. Basically means nothing.
It means nothing. So everything that is aforementioned in that whole document of bullshit about, you know, saying, oh, we're going to develop, shore up supply chains, we're going to bypass environmental laws, we're going to bypass any sort of form of land rights to get access to critical minerals, and we're not legally binding and we're not under any international or domestic legal frameworks.
We should use that as the start of every Friday rave.
I reckon, and that's right, you are tuned to Community Radio 3CR on a Friday rave.
Listening on 855 on your old school AM dial in Melbourne.
That's right, or 3CR Digital, or as always, your whiz bang chopper, copper your chopper in
your
the sky.
Preston ceiling fan.
And yeah, of course, it's many listeners to the show would know that we've been banging on about critical minerals for, since I've joined the show back in February, but also you've been talking about them for many years, Jake.
Oh,
as well.
You've been talking about them for, when I first met you, you were banging on to me about critical minerals 8 or so years ago.
Yeah, that's right. So, and it has seemingly come to a bit of a head this week with the announcement of our $8.5 billion pipeline with Albanese there just giggling away like, yeah. You know.
Oh. Well, I got to say, first of all, they're saying $8.5 billion, but that's $8.5 billion US. Mm. So we're talking 13-odd billion.
Yeah, yeah.
All right. It's a significant difference.
And this, you know, the process, as you know, I have been banging on about critical minerals for a good 8 or so years now, and this is nothing new. I mean, critical minerals are nothing new. The first list of critical minerals was developed in World War One,
right?
And critical minerals have been ravaging the global South and blackfella country for decades now.
Forever. And critical minerals, I think we should point out to the listener that they have no. It's not like you're talking about a rare earth or a noble gas or a transuranic element. They have no scientific basis in the term critical minerals. That are minerals that are deemed to be critical to the functioning of the government.
Exactly. And where they're critical because it's where they'll be they're more vulnerable to supply chain disruption.
Yes.
And I think that one of the interesting things and one of the things that we've spoken about is like, is critical minerals have always been sort of pushed under this guise of renewable energy and necessary for the transition. But in Albanese's press release about this new critical minerals deal with the US, it doesn't mention renewable energy once, and it jumps straight to defence. And so it's kind of a bit of a mask-off moment for the Australian government in just outright saying that these are critical for the defence and national security, which is not something that we've seen before.
True. I mean, they did mention under the, I think it was Defence Import Export Act 2022, they did include critical minerals as, raw materials necessary to the functioning of defence industry. So they acknowledged they were in there, but it was always sort of like, they push it in the media as necessary for renewable energy and technology. And it's particularly happened, I think, with lithium, with them, the need of lithium batteries to run things off grid.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, you know, renewable energy is obviously much easier to sell to a population. But I think it's worth noting that I was having a little browse at the critical energy minerals policy and documents last night that have come out of the CSIRO.
Mm-hmm.
And of the critical minerals list, Australia's critical minerals list, which includes 31 critical minerals, and that includes within that, you've got rare earth minerals, which in that subset is 17.
Yep.
And platinum group minerals, I think there's five in that. So that's in the overarching 31. And in the critical energy minerals, which are deemed critical for the transition to renewable energy and towards net zero, only 18 of the minerals on the critical minerals list,
right,
are deemed necessary for the transition.
So there are how many altogether? 31.
31.
So 31 critical minerals, of which 18 are critical for transition to renewable energy.
And two of those include praseodymium and neodymium,
right,
which are included in that 17 group subset of rare earths.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and then gallium would be a rare earth too, would it?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah.
Gallium is not.
Gallium is not.
Gallium, it's its own thing that's necessary for materials processing like electronics, sensors, lasers, but it is considered on the sensitive list of dual goods use and technology.
Right, okay. And gallium, of course, I mean, it's used for a lot of things, but it came to prominence, I think, with the development of the blue LED lights. I mean, older listeners may remember back in the day when all LED lights was a choice of red. But now we have white. All the, you know, the LED lights on the front of my Thumpin' Pig,
yeah,
which are white but have a blue tinge, are reliant on gallium.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, and I guess that's, you know, one of the inherent contradictions of capitalism is that, like, these critical minerals is that we need to use, and the microphones that we're recording with today, the phones that we use, the computers, like,
the little mixing unit you got there, the radios people are listening to on. Well, yeah, bloody critical minerals.
But I guess, you know, we put out, Renegade Activists put out earlier this year a little bit of a backgrounder, a non-exhaustive backgrounder, as always, on critical minerals. And so we're just going to be talking about a bit about this today, so you're going to have to listen to bang on. But as we said, you know, renewable, it's always under this guise of renewable energy. And I guess what this new critical minerals deal represents is Australia's, like, can maintain its acquiescent role to the US as a mine pit for US defence manufacturing, whilst simultaneously bolstering, using government funds, Australian government funds, taxpayer funds, to bolster the industry for supply and processing with little public pushback by framing it as renewable energy. But I think, yeah, as we said, it's a mask-off moment. And so this is a central feature of AUKUS Pillar 2, and the advanced capabilities part of that, and also coupled with the Defence Trade Control Amendments, which came in September last year, that you're probably sick of hearing us talk about. And also,
I've already managed to slip them in once.
And also the 2023 US-Australia Innovation Alliance. So I won't, you know, talk too much about the Defence Trade Control Amendment Act, because we all know what that means. It's a licence-free environment. But on the 10th of February, so earlier this year, Richard Marles and Pat Conroy released a joint media statement of the benefits of the export license-free environment. And so this is in terms of the, what is it, Defence Strategic Goods List.
Yeah, the DGSL.
Yeah.
DSGL, sorry.
And so instead of going through the list of what those critical minerals that are on that list, you can jump on Renegade Activist website and have a look for critical minerals hypocritical spin under the resources tab.
Yep.
And the list is all there. We've been talking about the role of critical minerals as being paramount for the defence manufacturing all the time on this show. And so the Future Made in Australia National Interest Framework while still championing renewable energy as a core impetus for critical minerals and supply chain stability, does mention defence, even if it is as an afterthought. And so, you know, it's the smooth operation, the diversified supply of critical minerals is critical to the smooth operation of global and domestic supply chains, including supporting net zero transformation, defence industries, and a range of other applications.
A range of other applications. You love that range of other applications.
And so defence and security is listed as a key objective of the Australian government's critical mineral strategy of 2023 to 2030. And the critical mineral strategy highlights that the initial priority technologies for critical minerals align directly with those set out in Australia's critical technology statement. Front and centre in Australia's critical technology statement is the importance of critical technologies in the national interest, these being economic prosperity, national security, and, you wouldn't believe it, social cohesion.
You're joking me.
I'm not joking you.
Critical minerals of social cohesion.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Unbelievable. I mean, critical minerals are essential for all of those surveillance networks.
Well, they are. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good point, the critical minerals for the surveillance networks.
Yeah. And so, lifting only a paper-thin veil of transparency, the list of critical technologies in the national interest focuses on key areas of advanced manufacturing and material technologies, AI technologies, information and communication technologies, quantum technologies, autonomous systems, robotics, positioning, timing and sensing, as well as biotechnologies and clean energy generation and storage technologies. And so there's a little bit of a role reversal of where they prioritise.
Yeah.
And so the primary five critical technologies list that I've just mentioned align directly with the government's defence innovation and science technology priorities outlined in the 2024 Defence Strategic Review and the 2024 Integrated Investment Program, which will be delivered through the Advanced Strategic Capabilities Accelerator,
ASCA,
and AUKUS Pillar 2.
And we've also been carping on for a long time since AUKUS was first mentioned. When was it? 2022. That AUKUS Pillar 2 is the main gig. Like, when you think, all that came out when Donald, what's his name, Anthony Albanese, they're almost getting the same haircut.
Yeah.
Isn't it
that
weird?
That comb over.
Oh, it's like he's been patted on the head too many times while he was over in the United States, you know. Australians love America, and I think Americans like us a bit too. I mean, what? I just got to stop there for a second and say, this is an absolute cultural cringe moment for me.
Mm-hmm.
Watching this grinning fucking idiot sitting there saying he's developed a friendship with Donald Trump. I can't swear too much on the radio, sorry. But no words that aren't swear words express my feelings.
Maybe a chunder in the toilet later.
All they mentioned about the submarines was Trump saying, they will get submarines. And that was it, offhand remark.
Yeah.
Whereas talking about the AUKUS Pillar 2, they went into details about a number of things. This is what's really important.
Mm.
And I just want to stress the importance of that to listeners.
Yeah, and this is why we talk about it so much, because this is where we're seeing all of these things and where AUKUS is at the moment, that so many of the raft of policies for AUKUS Pillar 2 have already been implemented.
Oh. Mm. And this is another one. Yeah.
And so as of February this year, the Australian government had invested $6 billion into streamlining the critical minerals mining boom through the development of the Australian Government Critical Minerals Facility. So an additional $7 billion will be made available over the next decade through what's called the Critical Minerals Production Tax Incentive, which will give a 10% refundable tax offset for the cost of processing. And so a bunch of usual suspects were tapped on the shoulder by the government to make submissions in regard to this production tax incentive, including Arafura Resources, one of the key companies involved in the two mines that were mentioned earlier this week, LIS Energy, which make lithium batteries, and Tesla.
Tesla?
Yeah.
What do they do?
I don't know, a whole bunch of fucked up shit. They make vehicles that explode.
Yeah.
So in total, 47 submissions were given to this production tax incentive, and a further 18 of those submissions remain confidential.
Right, okay.
And so I think it's good, interesting to note here that production tax incentive is set to start in 2027. However, Tesla and among others, and I think that this announcement of that we heard earlier this week, mm-hmm. is that it's suggested that this tax incentive be moved forward to the 2025-26 financial year, and I think that we're probably going to see that happen.
Yeah, you did mention Arafura Resources, one of the two companies mentioned, and specifically for the new framework, whatever they're calling it, the framework on critical minerals between Australia and the United States. The other company is, of course, Alcoa, which is the American aluminium company.
Yeah. Yeah. And Alcoa have had stuff down near Anglesey, and that's ongoing.
Yep. Aluminium smelter down near Anglesey. Anglesey, Portland, maybe. I don't know. Somewhere down that way. And currently they're in West Australia. We might talk about that a little bit later.
Yeah. So also in February this year, the government announced a joint $3 million investment to support a feasibility study for a critical minerals advanced processing facility in Western Australia under the Critical Minerals National Productivity Initiative.
Mm.
Furthermore, the government is tripping over its feet to promise cash to investors and mining companies to develop a critical mineral sector, and has laid out 55 eligible and investment-ready projects in the 2024 Critical Minerals Prospectus to try and entice investors. And as they've really made abundantly clear, this is private investors as well, so private capital investing in this.
Right, yeah, of course.
Yeah. And so to try and to make or to develop a perspective of risk-proof, quote-unquote risk-proof investments.
Risk-proof investment. Now, isn't
what
that...
What investment doesn't come with risk?
Isn't that the antithesis of capitalism? Risk-proof investment? What is this? Is this like we're talking a centrally controlled economy as far as critical minerals go?
Mm-hmm.
What do they mean by risk-proof? That's be one to look at.
So the investment incentives from the Australian government coincide with a critical minerals partnership between Japan and Australia that was signed in 2022. So not only does this partnership shore up the supply chain between Australia and Japan, but Madeleine King, who's the Minister for Resources in Northern Australia, who was in the US with Albanese.
Yep.
This is a quote: "The new partnership will help drive the development of Australia's critical mineral sector and promote more foreign investment to crucial projects which will mine, develop and process these essential minerals." So Australian companies with foreign investment already have critical minerals mines and processing overseas, such as Lynas.
Yes, in Malaysia,
and who are developing one alongside the DOD in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
But it also allows these companies to...
DOW these days.
Oh, DOW.
Department of War.
Mm, Dow Jones. Sorry.
Yeah.
But it allows these companies to remain listed on the ASX and trade as such, whilst, as always, extracting wealth from the global south.
Exactly.
And so in 2023, Albanese and Biden announced the US-Australian Innovation Alliance. And in the 2023 US-Australia Joint Leaders Statement, Building an Innovation Alliance states...
Well, can I read this?
Please.
Prime Minister Albanese reiterated his support for President Biden's request of Congress to add Australia as a domestic source, quote-unquote, within the meaning of Title III, the US Defence Production Act, which would streamline technological and industrial-based collaboration and build new opportunities for United States investment in production and purchase of Australian critical minerals, critical technologies and other strategic sectors. Taken together, these initiatives will further our efforts to build more diverse and resilient supply chains. That is so full on. So Australia is now a domestic source for the US. And this raises a few questions, as it does as being a domestic source for arms production. If something is dug up in Australia and it's a domestic source of the US, can it simultaneously be a domestic source for Australia?
Mm.
It can't be dug up in two countries at the one time. And what are the implications of that, not just for critical minerals, but defence manufacture, for our obligations under international treaties?
It's a very, very good question.
It's a good question.
Where does it sit, and where is that line drawn of what is actually domestic source, or do they just choose what is considered a domestic source
for
whatever and what's not?
We are now a domestic source. Now, this is like, this has gone beyond, above and beyond, way what our, what's the word, our subservience to the to empire has ever gone since before 1901, when it could have been argued that anything that dug up in Australia was a domestic source for Great Britain.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is just given, what does sovereignty mean if our, if stuff dug out of our ground is treated as if it's been dug out of the USA? It's an incredibly deep thing that Albanese, not ScoMo, not Abbott,
mm-hmm.
not Turnbull, not even Howard. Albanese has done this. Who's the grinny idiot who calls Trump a friend.
Closest friend.
Oh, sorry, it's just, oh.
Yep.
And sorry.
No, but it's true. And this is why, we've mentioned on the show a bunch of times about the domestic source, but these are the questions that it's raising, you know. These are not just offhand comments. It's like, oh, this is a bit cooked. We're now a domestic source. But, like, what are the actual implications of this?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We are now just a satrapy
of
the United States.
Yeah.
More than ever before. Gillard didn't do this even.
Yeah,
Rudd didn't do this. This is Albanese.
Yeah. And Albanese, in press conferences, is very, very, wants to get the gold stars and saying, my government, and really taking ownership over what this is.
Yeah. This was me.
Give me a gold star.
Pat me on the head again.
So at the 2024 Osman consultation.
Do you notice he was walking funny when we left the White House? Sorry.
Yeah, because... All right, we won't go there. I was thinking it. So at the 2024 Osman consultations, his gormlessness, you know who we're talking about, Richard Marles.
He's still Defence Minister. Jeez, what's it going to take?
And Minister for Foreign Affairs, Penny Wong, discussed the ongoing work of Critical Minerals Task Force. And so I think when they're talking about this deal that's just been signed, they're talking about future investment and US and Australian combined joint investment into critical minerals processing and the development of that industry further. But in 2024, then Secretary of State Anthony Blinken reiterated that over the last 2.5 years, the US has invested over $5 billion into Australia for critical minerals. So
that was nice of him.
So in the subservient alliance in which Australia positions itself, it's not surprising that the Defence Department is publicly quiet about critical minerals and their strategic importance for defence until now. But Dickie Miles in February was at the White House meeting with Pete Hegseth, and Miles was waxing lyrical about AUKUS as, this is a quote, a significant increase of the American footprint on the Australian continent. But what comes with that a significant increase of the American footprint on the Australian continent. But what comes with that is it also represents an increase in Australian defence spending. Right. So we mentioned just briefly on the show last week, Pete Hegseth has been, and the US has been pushing for Australia to increase its defence spending. And there has been some... interesting accounting work to boost those numbers.
Did we mention that last week?
I don't know. I think it was an offhand comment rather than a discussion.
Yeah. What Miles did is he changed the definition of defence spending in Australia so that different things are included under the rubric of defence spending. So we're not spending any more nor any less, but it's now... looks more because different things are included in defence spending.
And that includes like veteran super, I think, is the main one that made it shift from 2.1 to 2.3 overnight or something like that.
Yeah, and it's absolutely ridiculous, but anyway.
And so at the time, Minister for Resources, Madeleine King, highlighted that these talks were a matter of urgency, and reiterating Australia's position, and this is a quote from Madeleine King, it is a strong link with the Americans. It is a pro-American policy. We want to diversify our supply chain. The way we will do it is with the assistance of the US and their investment. Yeah. And so, sorry, just rewinding just for a second, where we were talking about changing what the definition of defence spending is.
Yeah.
And this was the offhand, you know, just an offhand comment that we made last week. But I think, you know, we are going to see now that this deal signed is that critical minerals are going to become under the scope of defence.
Of course.
So when the US have been pushing for an increase of spending to 3.5%, it just increases the fold of, or the wings of which comes under defence spending.
Yeah, yeah.
So in January 2025, Penny Wong met with US Secretary of State Marco Rubio, and the critical minerals and shoring up the supply chains was on the agenda. So alongside strengthening bilateral relationships through AUKUS, defence initiatives, they both agreed on the importance of utilising the US-Australia alliance to its full extent to maximise opportunities in the Indo-Pacific.
So, again, we just want to drive home to you, the listeners, that every time you hear about critical minerals and rare earths and all the other terms they use as being necessary as a move towards renewable energy, it's bullshit. I mean, yes, they are, but that's not why they're doing this. They're doing this for the militarisation of our country.
Yep, absolutely. And to shore up. Now, we haven't even got to the US industrial base policies yet.
Oh,
and the
sorry.
Mine to magnet. No, no. Like, but there's there's just so much to. I think for another show, we're going to have to talk about what the US industrial base policy and how Australia is following suit in its policy obligations to the US, and these in terms of things like the US now Department of War's National Defense Industrial Strategy and the mine to magnet supply chain and the, you know, the future made in America. So I think we're probably going to have to talk about that on another show, but I guess the main thing is this takeaway is like this has been, this deal that has just been struck has been in the pipeline for years. And as we spoke about earlier, it's like, you know, there's a long-term strategy of getting rid of, like, cutting that environmental red tape, you know, emptying out any form of land rights for First Nations people on their land to clear land. This is another mining boom that
got to say there, isn't it great that the Voice to Parliament referendum failed? Because what you would have had was the Albanese government appointing, because there was never going to be an election, appointing its Indigenous mouthpieces to say, yep, we want these critical minerals. And then any of us who objected to the mining would be accused of going against the wishes and aspirations of the Indigenous people. The whole thing is a setup.
Yeah.
The whole thing is a setup.
And it's been in the pipeline for a long time, and now we're just seeing the culmination of it. So we're not going to stop talking about it, as we haven't.
No, we won't stop talking about it.
But if you do want to read more, yeah, jump on Renegade Activist website under the resources tab, and there's a little bit of, you know, an in-depth background of some of the stuff that we've been talking about today and more, just as a bit of background to what the policy landscape looks like in terms of critical minerals, and we'll be keeping a close eye on it from then. But for now, keep it locked. You're tuned to Community Radio 3CR.